All right, what is going on, everybody? Welcome back to another day of Saber Sims DFS Office Hours. Today is Tuesday, March 24th of 2026. Looking ahead here, we have a 10-match tennis slate to go with a 15-game NHL slate and a 4-game NBA slate. So it should be a fun day of DFS. For those of you who are new here, welcome. My name is Andrew. I'm one of the coaches over here at SaberSim. This is a show where we go over how to use the SaberSim app, answer any and all DFS-related questions, get your questions in one of three ways here. First off, send us an email, support@sabersim.com. Second, post it live in the YouTube chat. Third way, post it in the Office Hours channel in our Discord server. If you're not in our Discord and want to get access to that channel, there's a link in the description of this video. You also get access to our similar channels, individual sport channels, and you get access to the rest of the SaberSim team. Just can't say enough good things about the Discord. But with that said, we do this show Monday through Friday, 4 p.m. Eastern, and then we do this show on Saturdays at 12:30 p.m. Eastern. You can tune in any one of those days to get your questions answered. All right. With that said, let's get SaberSim pulled up on the screen. Opening day is right around the corner. I think today is a probably pretty good day to start talking some MLB strategy. So I saw some MLB questions in the chat as well. So we'll probably be focusing on this slate here. Do have a couple questions to get to. So first question of the day, is there a way to order one group per contest, let's say, sort by prize pool, high to low, instead of filling out the singles and 1-3 entries first? All right. So with regard to ordering of groups, okay, the default grouping option is this dollars per entry, okay? So if, say, if you're playing, you know, the mini max, and then you're playing the $1 3 max, right? Well, each entry in the $1 3 max is $1 per entry, and then say the mini max is 50 cents, so the dollars per entry is 50 cents here, right? Even though the fees end up being higher. So what we found in our, when we were doing our portfolio back testing, was that the dollars per entry had a bigger impact on the success of the portfolio. And therefore, that is why we do, by default, highest dollar per entry to low. And then that goes with avoid duplicates across lineup groups, right? We want your best, we want your highest dollar per entry contest to get your best lineups before they get removed from consideration from future groups. So that's just like a little background, a little detail as to why this is how it is. Now, as far as what your options are, so I believe the only way to reorder them is by hand. And the way you would do that is with these drag and drop features over here. So like, let's say that I'm just going to call this group one, and then I'm going to call this group two. So you can use the drag and drop, and then I can take group two, and then I can put it above group one like so. So now two is on top and then one is below. I am pretty sure there is not a way to mass change the order of your groups. However, I do think that would be cool. So I'm going to make a note here. Feature request. Quick way to reorder groups, i.e. price pool. So I'm gonna take that one back to the team, but I think that is the state of this at the moment. All right, we have two questions that are similar. So we're gonna talk about both of these together, and this will basically take us into a slate demo. So let's get both of these in here. All right, two questions. Anything new in SaberSim this year for MLB? And then second question, how are you doing today? I'm doing great, thank you. Is there any specific tips and approach for MLB using SaberSim? So I think this is our first kind of slate demo for MLB for this year. Now, as far as, is there anything new? I believe it is the same model that we ended with at the end of last season in September. So I'm not too sure of any changes. I haven't heard too much. If there is, I'm sure the team will let us know. But as far as strategy and tips go, right, why don't we start by running some builds? So we were doing this the other day on office hours. We were actually doing a contest flashback demo. I think that was yesterday. Yeah, yesterday we did a contest flashback demo. We were looking at, you know, winning players from slates, from different slates last season, seeing what they were doing. If you missed that segment, I would go back to yesterday's office hours and check that out. It was pretty insightful to see what some of the top players were doing. As far as building, right? So one, it's important to kind of get a sense of what SaberSim is trying to accomplish. And I think you can do that by looking at the sliders. So when you open up the settings, right, we see correlation is very high. We see sim diversity is high, right? So with the correlation being all the way at 9 out of 10, we understand that stacking is important, right? Correlation, very, very valuable. It's because, right, in a, you know, say a basketball game, right, the clock is always ticking down, you know, no matter what. There's a finite amount of time. But every time a hitter gets a hit, you know, that is an extra at bat for someone on their team. There is no official time limit, right? There are 27 outs, but you can get as many hits as you want within that amount of time. So every hit extends the game, extends the game, extends the game, right? And then that's more at bats for the teams, more opportunities to score. The scoring system promotes stacking because you get points for hitting an RBI, right? It will, in order for you to get an RBI, someone on your team must have got on base somehow. And that player is also going to get points for scoring a run. So there's this big stacking correlation component in MLB, and the sliders are telling us that, right? The other thing the sliders are telling us is that sim diversity is very high, so we don't want to rely on average projection too much. That's because hitters in MLB are very high variance, right? That you can kind of learn that from just the batting average alone, right? A hitter gets a hit 3 out of 10 times, they're a very good hitter. Here, right, we pull up Corey Seager's distribution, and in our sims, he gets 0 points 1/3 of the time, right? He goes 0 for 4. He goes 0 for 3, 0 for 5, right? So there's a good percent of the time here where he does not get a hit at all and scores 0 points. But he does have, you know, a lot of ceiling, right? This is kind of what we're hunting for. Hey, these 1% of sims where he scores 30, 35, the 2% where he scores, you know, high 20s, right? That is what the high sim diversity is going to help us do, is find those small batches of sims where he does good and should be in the lineup, right? So as far as, you know, getting into kind of the approach and things like that, you know, these are things that are important to kind of understand. I know we had somebody yesterday saying, hey, I'm playing baseball for the first time this year. You know, these things can help you kind of understand what the builder is trying to accomplish with your lineups. So as far as changing anything, you know, I'm not super interested in like changing anything. If you wanted to do something, I think something that we saw yesterday on our flashback is that nobody was really playing two stacks. So I could say, you know, for stacking rules, I prefer to use the advanced stacks. Okay. The reason is that when I do a stacking rule and I don't check the pitcher, it will effectively exclude the pitcher. But if I do check the pitcher, it will make sure the pitcher is always in. So this is like an all or none kind of thing. It's not my favorite. I prefer to use the stack advanced, see how pitcher equals zero. I like to set this as greater than or equal to zero. So saying, hey, we can play a pitcher, but we don't have to, right? So if I wanted to say, hey, I want to use at least, which is greater than or equal to, at least 3 players from any spot in the order from a team. You know, this is a effectively like a catch-all, this all the positions listed here. So then I'm just going to say, you know, 3, at least 3 stack. Because based on what we saw, didn't seem like two stacks were all that great. So if you want to do something, I think it's like a super safe rule that you can use. Also in the group section, I know you don't see it by default, but if you click this drop down, there's a default rule. Don't use batters against opposing pitchers. This is also a good rule to have on most of the time. You could probably leave it off on like a 2-game slate, maybe a 3-game slate. I think it's going to kind of depend in some of those scenarios. There's some other kind of ideas in regards to that, which we'll talk about more as we get, you know, into the baseball season a little bit further. But I think that this is like a fine start for us. I am more open to leaving the salary a little bit wider in MLB. I think it makes a little bit more sense, and you don't have to play, you don't have to rely on projection as much in MLB. So I would probably go as far to say is like the more you rely on correlation, the less important average projection probably is. Because you're hunting for like those upside outcomes and upside correlation, and that kind of takes precedent over like average projection. So salary and projection are correlated, which is why I'm okay leaving this band a little bit wider. All right, I think that's enough like upfront kind of stuff. We're going to make two quick adjustments here in any of these editable columns. I prefer to do the ownership one. And then we're going to build 500 lineups. So we are doing this demo as if we are building for a 20 max contest. Going to build 500 lineups. Going to use portfolio diversity here. And now we're just waiting for the lineups to run. One thing you guys might notice, and I think this is always the most prominent going from NBA, which is a low correlation sport, to MLB, which is a high correlation sport. Typically, the higher the correlation setting, the longer it takes for the builds to kind of start. So just keep that in mind. Like here, it took probably like a good 10 seconds for it to like build our first lineups. So that is something that you will see. I wouldn't say it's anything to really worry about, but just something to be aware of in case you're like, hey, you know, it's kind of taking a while. Something might be wrong. It's really just due to the correlation slider and the correlation kind of work that goes into this. All right. So we are in the post build and we are about to get into our kind of post-build analysis. I think this is a good time for a couple questions that are rolling in. And I want to just answer this one really quickly before we continue here. Can I ask questions about NHL? Yes, you can ask questions about, you know, any sport in the lobby, and I will do my best to address them. So yeah, feel free to drop that in the chat. This is a good one for post-build analysis. What is the difference between Saber score, projected score, and live score on any slate? Good question. So projected score is simply adding up all of the players' individual projections. It is probably the most straightforward of these. So I come in here, right? I look at like, okay, Scooble's 21.38, Crochet is 20.87. If you add all these up, it actually ends up rounding up to a rounded number, which is 100.0. So if I just got a calculator, added up all these values, that's my projected score. Now, Saber score is a little bit different. So what we do with Saber score is we build all the lineups first. Now, Saber score is effectively, which is like this value up here, this 31.61. It is a contest sim ROI. Now, it is what we call like a simple contest sim where it's not related to any particular contest in the lobby, but we are running a contest sim with a general payout structure behind the scenes, seeing how all your lineups perform, and then returning a ROI, which gets converted into what we call Saber score. So, like, for instance, this lineup here has a value of 71.18. That is a 71% ROI in that sim that we ran. So that's what Saber score is. Live projected score is something you will see on sports where we have live sims. So for late swap sports, we have live sims for MLB. We have live sims for NBA. And we have live sims for NFL. Those are the only three late swap sports I can think of where we do that. So what we're doing is, as the games are playing, as the games are in progress, we're taking in the box score information and we are updating player projections based on how those players are doing, right? So when Luka Doncic hits his projection midway through the third quarter, right? His projection isn't accurate anymore in describing how he's doing. He's already surpassed it, and there's still a quarter and a half left. Well, at every, you know, the live sims run like every 5 to 10 minutes. At various points throughout the first quarter, throughout the second quarter, throughout the third quarter, we have effectively updated his projection based on how he's doing. So let's say he was projected for 55 points. Well, in the at the beginning of the second half, he had 40, right? We're like, well, you know, he already has 40. You know, we think his new projections should actually be 65 instead of 55, right? So we are saying, hey, his live in-game projection is 65, even though his pre-slate projection was 55, right? When you use the live projections or live scores in the sorting metrics, we are using that updated value of 65 in place of the previous 55. So like going back to this example, right? Let's say in the, you know, Brandon Nimmo, right, is a leadoff hitter for the Rangers. And they are on the road, right? They are at Philly. His projection is 8 points. When he, if he gets a leadoff home run, he gets 14 points. And that is already more than the 8. Well, he still has, you know, at least 3 at-bats left, right? We're going to say, okay, hey, you know, Nimmo has 3 at-bats left. We think his new projection should be 20, right? And then your late swap would use that 20 value instead of the original 8. So that's like another example with baseball. All right. Derek said, took down the 30K NBA 4-point play last night. Right on. Congratulations. If you are not participating, I would recommend participating in our winner circle. It's a way to win a free month of Saber Sim as well as cool prizes when you win contests. If you're already in it, great. If somebody's on here, they never heard of it. Pretty cool here. You win free prizes. We've had a lot of winners over the years. There are, you know, pretty straightforward rules. Have an active SaberSim account. Use a SaberSim logo as your avatar, which you can download here. And then send us a screenshot on X of your win and then tag us. And then our team will reach out to you and let you know. A couple additional just kind of clarifications down here on the bottom with our marquee giveaway being that if you win a $1 million contest, you get free Saber Sim for life and you get a Rolex along with a bunch of other stuff. So pretty fun giveaway to participate in. Doesn't cost you anything. All you gotta do is switch that logo. But if you do that and you send us your win, then you should be able to claim some cool prizes. All right. Next question. This is the NHL question. I'm playing tonight's 15-game slate, just doing the $20 max $1 contest. My question is, how can I narrow my player pool after running my sims and builds so I don't get too much diversity? So I think that, you know, I've heard a lot of people kind of talk about different ways that they decide to curate their player pool. If you're interested in curating your player pool, you know, I might even be interested in doing it before the build runs as opposed to after the build runs. Because the idea, right, is that you want to get as many lineups in your pool as you are willing to play, right? If you see a lineup in your pool and you were like, I would never play that lineup, that's kind of a waste, right? You don't want to waste lineups in your pool overall. So, like, let's say you never want to play line four skaters. You're like, you know what? It's a big 15-game slate. There are so many options. I don't really want to consider line four skaters. Okay. I think that makes sense. I would go to my filters. And then I would create something. I swear I clicked this. I don't know. Okay. Yeah. And it would look like this. I've renamed it to no line four. It's like a demo I did recently. And it says show players with EV line is not four. And then if I come in here, sort by EV line, well, it automatically unchecks all of the line four skaters here, right? Just like doesn't consider them. Now, a lot of these, you know, skaters have really low ownership, but some of them might sneak in, right? So just kind of gives you some peace of mind that you are filtering them out, not considering them at all. You know, you could take this further, right? Hey, I don't want to see EV3. I don't want to see power play 2, right? I'm only playing 20 lineups. I want to, you know, play mostly power play 1s, right? You could set more of these. And, you know, maybe I'd say, hey, show players with power play line is not 2, right? I say no PP2, just an example. So that's another one, and I come in, and then look, all these line two power play guys are gone. It will, you know, if you're okay with the EV1 though, right, it messes that up, so you gotta be like a little bit careful. But just like some food for thought, another option would be if you wanted to just get rid of some teams, right? You're like, hey, you know what? I am not interested in any team with a goal total under 3 or something like that. Okay. I could just use the game menu and then this little icon next to the filter icon, the one in red, if I click this, it'll effectively just remove the entire team from consideration. You know, these are all ways that you can filter your player pool before the build starts. And so those are things that I would be considering there. Other things that you could consider is, you know, you could try the team stacks tab too, right? Like setting 0 max. Maybe I come in and I just sort by goals. And this is like a similar way of doing the other thing, but it's like a little bit cleaner because I can just quickly sort goals ascending, descending. And then I can just uncheck these teams, right? Like, hey, I don't want to stack any of these teams. And I could, you know, do it this way too. So there's a bunch of different ways to do that. But overall, the messaging here is try not to waste lineups in your pool. And tell SaberSim what you don't want up front so it can give you more of what you do want. So those are the big things there. All right, talked some MLB and some NHL here. Pretty fun show, a lot of good questions. Appreciate you guys tuning in. I'll be back tomorrow, 4 p.m. Eastern for our next show. So until then, everybody, take care. Good luck. Thanks.